We have a lot of little things, but important things. First of all, our travel, Pastor Pete mentioned, and I say this to thank the body for the prayers, because we felt like we were walking in your prayers. We felt God was answering prayers. And it's a long story, but an amazing story, that in 1990, a group of us from here moved to Budapest, Hungary. And the map is going to go up, I think. And some of us used to live in Finland, and being in Finland, we would travel into the Soviet Union, and we saw atheistic communism, materialism, and the whole political ideology and social effects, and the lack of freedom. And we said in those years in the 1970s, if it ever changes, we're going to go. So Pastor Matti and Hanale and others went in the late 70s, started to move and work in the Soviet Union, 1980, 81, and sow seeds. So make a long story short, in 1990, we moved to Budapest and had a vision to reach Soviet bloc countries, republics of the Soviet Union, and it happened. In 10 years' time, we planted churches in 24 different communist bloc cities. This is St. Petersburg, Moscow, Tumen, Siberia, Ashgabat, Turkmenistan, Baku, Azerbaijan, Samarkand, Uzbekistan, Penjikent, Tajikistan, Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. So those are all that's all foreign language to many. I understand that, but if we have the map, yeah, here we have the map of where we were here. This is the city, Bishkek. Can I draw on this, Pastor Steve? Okay, here's the. That's where we went. We took a flight from Moscow. It was a four-hour flight to that city. And about 10 years ago, a donor, a generous person, gave $40,000 to buy a piece of property in that city for the church, because the church was moving because they were renting. And they move rent for 2 months, and then maybe the owner would say, you know, I don't want you here anymore. It is Islamic. There is a bit of persecution there. But after moving around, this donor said, you know, I could buy some land. So that happened. Then we needed money for the foundation and documents, and it happened. There's a large, good church building size, which costs $170,000 in total, and about 80,000 came from abroad, and which means that a small group of poor people gave a lot of money through this 10-year period, and they love the being together. So the vision is, we have a Bible college, and the vision is to invite Central Asian students in Mongolia, up here somewhere, Kazakhstan, in the area to come to the Bible college. It has happened already in a measure, but more can happen, and they are excited about it. And that's, you know, asking for your love and your prayers. And it was amazing. People came from other countries for the conference. And, you know, one person from here, two from there. And I think 12 from Uzbekistan and 8 or 10 from Kazakhstan. And so this is God's work. Wow, it's amazing. Second thing I want to mention is the end times, which we're going to speak about a little bit this morning in our message. End times class we have is starting February 3rd. The book of Revelation and the three epistles of John. I'll be teaching that. Then Pastor Ben is coming at the end of the month of January for 1 week, like he has been doing. And we're excited about welcoming him and having him for that week of evening meetings and lunch wrap times and so on. So that's going to be happening. Okay. All right. So now comes our message. So how can I just exit it? Okay. There we go. Thank you. Turn with me to a wedding story from John chapter 2. Someone gave me a gift for Christmas, which was a book by Timothy Keller called Encounters with Jesus. As I've been reading the book, I see his insight into the scripture. This is one of them. I'm not taking his message in entirety, but the Spirit using that message in that book to stir my mind and my imagination. I believe you can follow this with me. It may sound a little bit abstract, but I'll try to make it as clear as possible. But you have to step back from the event and see the Bible in the way where, in short, God made the world. Here's the world that God made. Let's make it white. Here's the world that God made. He planted a garden, and the curse came on the human race, and the world did not become what it was supposed to be. Do you believe that? That this world is not to be the way it is just now. It's not totally bad. Many of us, we love life. We feel it. We love it. Being born again answers everything in my heart and mind. I know it's intended to, and that I believe that there's a new world coming, one where there is no death, no sorrow, no pain. We read that in Revelation 21, verse 4. That day is coming. There is a kingdom coming that is better than this one. I mean, the world and the devil and death and sin. There's another world that we do not see it. We cannot really touch it with our hands, but it is here amongst us. There's a new world coming. Hallelujah. We had a message in Moscow. I forgot to tell you, we went to Moscow for a three-day conference. So we did 3 days in Kyrgyzstan, and then we flew, Pastor Pete Westera and I, we flew to Moscow. And there we had the rush, you know, just 190 or 200 plus people. Some Finns, people from Turkmen, Siberia, St. Petersburg, and so on. Beautiful time with Pastor Teplo, Pastor Gromov, and many of the pastors. Wow. We had pastors' meetings in the morning. We talked about what it is to be an elder. We talked about the high standard. We talked about day-to-day living, temptations. We talked about failure, recovery. We just had a beautiful time every morning when we were there. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, church. It's amazing. Is there a better world coming? And I want to put in here this word, marriage. Why? Because in Revelation 19, it's called the marriage of the Lamb, that Jesus is the bridegroom. There are some people this is too crazy sounding, but bear with me. God, when he made the world, wanted Adam to be the head of this world, and that God and Adam and Eve were to be one. They were to be one with each other. Adam and Eve were to be one. And then God and Adam and Eve were the governance of the world. And the kingdom of heaven was to come in the world. Not death, not sin, not confusion, not destruction, not fear, not hatred, not demonic activity, but the kingdom of heaven was to come. It didn't come. It didn't come as it was intended in the beginning. Titus 1, verse 2. Man was to have eternal life, not to die. But we die. Every time somebody dies, we stand at the graveside and just shake our head in unbelief. It doesn't fit in us. Death is an anomaly. We aren't to die. We are to live. We know that. We feel it. And so we live in a cursed world. But there is a marriage with all of us believers through history that will be married to Christ. And when that marriage happens, it will be happening when he's done saving souls out of the earth, and in the rapture he will bring us to himself. Also the people that, all the believers that have already died and their bodies are in the grave, their bodies will come up out of the grave in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. There'll be a marriage in heaven. So, let's go to our diagram here. I think I drew it, did I? No, I didn't. This one. The house. Our famous house in our church. I'll put here, marriage in Cana. So this is John chapter 2. The third day, verse 1, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, I want you to see a couple things here about the marriage on the earth. We've all been to weddings. There is in this story the bridegroom mentioned. He's kind of the guy that's to make it happen. He's the bridegroom. It's his wedding. And he has a, number two, he has a manager there who's the person overseeing the wedding. And then we have wine, but it's limited, wine, and it's limited. And then we have jars. We read in the story jars and water. Many of you know the story, so this is a wedding with its limitations. This is a wedding that runs out of wine. This is a wedding with people, a bridegroom, a bride, a manager of the event. They say that in the ancient world, the wedding was like for the whole community. And that's probably why Jesus was invited and his disciples. And also, it was for the community and it was to be festive. It was a time of celebration. So they had the attitude, the thanksgiving, the rejoicing, and they had wine. But then, and they said that sometimes maybe the wedding would go for a whole week. I know in Poland, the weddings can be for 3 days. And many times like a drunken festivity. This is a kind of a picture of a life which is just generally experienced by us as people. But when the embarrassing thing happens and they run out of wine, Mary, Jesus' mother, says to him, "They have run out of wine," in verse 3. "They have no wine." That sounds like a mistake. A mistake at the wedding. A mistake with its limitations. Verse 4, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come." And you wonder, what hour does he mean? What hour is he talking about? The hour, like this is his first miracle. And in the first miracle, there's kind of a statement that's going to be made. Because he's going to take all those limited things and bring them to another place. He's going to bring a common festivity and he's going to bring it to something that is extraordinary. Because this is why he came. And he actually said, "My hour hasn't come, but the hour, I believe, is the hour of the cross." Because through the cross, there becomes the possibility of another wedding, a marriage between God and man. When Jesus goes to the cross, he actually takes us who are lost and he brings us to God. And we are brought into him. And we have something new. That he does in this story, he takes the jars of water. I could draw it this way. He takes the jars of water and he turns them into wine. And the jars were religious jars. They were jars for ceremonial washings. And when Jesus comes with his kingdom, he takes us from ceremonial washings into the reality of his own person in the spirit, that we know him. This is the new wine. The wine of the Holy Spirit, the wine of joy, the wine of something that has no limit, for we are married to God. So in the story here, verse 5, it says, "His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it." Very powerful statement for all of us here today. Whatever he says, do it. Mary, do you see into the future? No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know much about this. I know that man I had by a miracle. I believe that he is the Messiah. I have been pondering his life since his birth. I'm mystified who this person is, but I believe whatever he says, do it. Because now is a time of faith. For we walk by faith in whatever Jesus says. Because he said also to the disciples, "I send you a comforter." And I want you to look at this word. Advocate is how it's translated in many different translations. In the King James, it is comforter. But I read in this book by Timothy Keller that this word advocate, the word advocate is better because when you say comforter, you kind of think of somebody sitting by your bedside holding your hand, comforting you, hand holding. But he said the word is actually stronger. It's like we use the word para as parakletos, and in our English we can say paramedic or paralegal. what's a paralegal? Somebody working in a law office who's helping the lawyer and helping the client. And actually, we could say a lawyer is an advocate for me. And he may be strong with me because I don't know what actually it is I'm doing regarding the car accident that happened. Like, if I was in charge, I'd probably mess up the whole case or have no case. But if I have a lawyer who knows how it is, he is not a comforter, but a stronger word, an advocate. You know, somebody who could be my counselor and get me from point A to point B. And actually, as a believer, this is what's happened to us. We have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, and sometimes very firmly, and he says to us, you don't really know what you're doing. You're going to run out of wine. You don't really know what you're doing. You got these religious jars. And by the way, there were six of them, right? I'll put in here the words, the number six. That's man's number. 666 is man's number in the book of Revelation. That when we have men that only have water in them and we have a festivity, they can't make the thing happen. They can't get it anywhere. We get stuck in our stuff. We get stuck in the stuff of life. We get stuck in our disappointments, our identity even. I've been thinking a lot about identity because when Jesus came and he was water baptized, the devil took him to the wilderness and then he just basically challenged his identity. If you are the Son of God, then... If you are the Son of God, then. And I think that this is the way he attacks us. That you aren't what you think you are. Or, you know, he attacks you and questions who you are and what you really believe as a person. But the advocate speaks. My advocate speaks for me. My counselor, and he says back to the devil who we are. I am not my sin. I am not my failure. I am not that empty guy kind of all shriveled up inside in my heart, very discouraged about my personal life, which happens so much to all of us. But we have an advocate. Be careful to hear what the advocate says. Be careful to hear what God says to you. That's why, by the way, I know that many of you are like gifted people, and many of you are maybe intelligent and gifted and capable and very energetic maybe, and very good people. But may I warn you, your wedding, by way of analogy here, not your literal wedding, but your life, is supposed to be a feast. Your life and my life is supposed to be a feast that is supplied by another bridegroom, that is supplied by another manager of the feast. Your life and I, it's where we are ultimately going. And before we get there in the story, Jesus is saying, when I am here, look at our picture. When the marriage in heaven will be full of joy, it'll be eternal, it'll be oneness, it'll be perfect, it'll be without pain, without sorrow, without doubt, without fear. That marriage is coming. But look at the story. Before that one comes, what is happening in this life? Before we find our perfect glorified bodies, we are living in this world, and the jars of religion are filled with water, But when Jesus is here, he turns them into joy, life, freedom, peace. This is his first miracle, it seems to me, and this is what Timothy Keller is saying in his book. It seems to me that the first miracle he did is a statement for the whole thing that he's going to do at the cross. When my hour has come, Mother, my hour has not yet come. And she says, whatever he says, do it. She got that right. But then he is prophesying about what is going to happen when I go to the cross. My hour comes. I'm going to deal with sin. I'm dealing with death. I'm dealing with the devil. I'm dealing with unbelief. And when that happens, and I want my people to experience what I can do at a wedding on the earth. What I can do at a wedding on the earth, wait, what? In the workshop, on the beltway, in your personal home. What God can do in a gymnasium, in a bathroom, a shower room, in a classroom, in a university room. What God can do in a forest, in a desert, in Kyrgyzstan. What God can do in Afghanistan. And by the way, I talked to some people who are very interested in going into Afghanistan and sharing the message of Christ. Very dangerous. But, you know, when Jesus shows up at this wedding in Afghanistan or in Kyrgyzstan, when God shows up in Moscow or in Uricon or at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, when he turns the water into wine and he uses religious jars and he's saying, I am more than religion, I am the Christ. I am more than an empty heart. I am the Christ. You're going to run out. If you rely on yourself, you will run out. You don't have a manager big enough to handle this world. You don't have a bridegroom big enough to handle what is needed to be done in this world. My hour has not yet come, but let me tell you and show you who I am. Because my hour is coming, and I will overcome and bring a great victory. And I want you to taste it in this life. I want you to get up in the morning and experience the joy and taste it. I want you to be built up in your identity. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know I am for you. I am here for you in this world. And you know, when this marriage turns into this thing, everybody's wondering, how did it happen? Look at the rest of the story. It goes verse 6. There were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, about 30 gallons. What is it? They made of stone or baked clay, fired pottery. They were water pots of clay. What are we made out of? Clay. What's in us? Just water. And we can purify something religiously, but we can't get beyond that. But then Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. Verse 7, they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and knew not where it came from. How could you be the head of the wedding and not know where it came from? That's how it should go. That world doesn't know where this comes from. That world cannot find it out. They think maybe I had a neighbor in my former neighborhood. He came over to me one day. He goes, how do you do it? I think I've told the story before. How do you do it? I go, what do I? He goes, I see you take the garbage cans down to the street. I go, yeah. He goes, why are you smiling? How do you do it? So we talked a little bit. I go, we have to talk. So we sat on the porch. We had a talk. And I told him about who Jesus is and so on. Then Pastor Jim Hadley was painting his house And Jim Hadley led them to the Lord. Yeah, we moved away, and Pastor Jim moved in. Not moved into the house, but he had to work for him, and he led him to the Lord. Beautiful thing. Wow, amazing. You know, I might not bring somebody to the Lord that day, but I could sow a seed. And I might not be able to sow the seed unless something maybe they could see that's happening in your life. Like, why do you carry a Bible around? Why do you go to church in the morning? What is going on? Why are your kids happy? Why is your dog so old? Why do your tomato plants are so bushy and green and red? Why what's going on in your life? And he said, my neighbor said, I have to take Prozac in order to stay up and feel good because I'm depressed. And we understand this is how it goes in the lives of people. They run out of wine. Hey, the Ravens ran out of wine. Hey, the New Orleans Saints ran out of wine. The New England Patriots ran out of wine, and so on and on it goes. How many losers there are in this world. How much our wine runs out. How much trouble is in our marriage and in our family. How many problems we have with regards to our self-life. How much is it going? How much of that is happening in this world? It's everywhere. But Jesus is here. Find him, and you find everything. Find him. Walk by faith in him, and you will see it. When they poured the water, they saw it turn, and they knew, and that's like us. Verse 9, when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. They knew. By the way, let me finish with this thought. When you read the Bible, be very prayerful and respectful of the Bible in your heart. And be humble before God and read the Bible. And make little notes and just be very slow reading. And just reread it. Take 5 minutes, read a portion. And don't just read it and say, I know it, or just read it. No, I don't know it yet. Just read it. And read it again. And I'm looking for it. Wow. Read it again, 10 times. Read it again the next day. Read the same portion. And you know what? Water turns into wine. The Bible lives. You know what? I don't know sometimes what I'm reading. But as I just kind of focus and I wait on God, the Bible starts to speak to my heart, and I got something. People don't know where I got it from, but I got it. They don't know, where'd you get that? I got it. God gave it to me. God gave it to me from the Bible. It spoke to me. Do that as a habit. This is a 2020 year, 2020. Have a personal vision for your own life. Don't get discouraged. Walk by faith. Do whatever he says. And then read and listen, and you'll find more and become like food for you. And then it says in verse 10, he said, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. The beginning of miracles, the first one, and manifested his glory. We manifest his glory in our lives because we have a bridegroom who has provided for us a feast, and that is coming. But until then, we also have it here on this earth, in our everyday life. And if you say, Pastor, I haven't got there yet, it'll happen. Walk by faith, do whatever he says, and you'll find that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that marriage supper that is coming one day is now to be here in measure, here on the earth through his person. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are very, very thankful that this wedding is around the world happening in different places. We saw it in Moscow, we saw it in Central Asia, and we see it here this morning. Bring it home to every life listening to my voice. Bring it home to all our days while we live on the earth. That there is a better wine, a better wine. There is a better wine, a better spirit, a better mind, a better identity, a better fellowship. There is something better that'll never pass away. Because you sent your Son so that the kingdom of God would be here amongst us. Show it to us, please. And then anyone listening to my voice who's not a believer yet, come to Jesus by faith. Do whatever he says. Do whatever he says and follow him. And God will show you. You are forgiven. You are washed clean. You are a child of God. And say to Jesus, this morning I believe in you, Jesus. Save me in Jesus' name. Amen.